This is Pure Tech. 2016. This is a show about things that interest me, like the rule of the offended, information security, and making bad jokes on the internet. And I am Morps. I am currently drinking Eagle Rare. I found a place down here where it's not too expensive. And despite my threats to go it alone tonight I do have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Maker's Mark Cast Strength on the rocks.
Nice. Very nice. And we also have Aryu. Aryu, what are you imbibing?
I'm washing down lunchtime pancakes with coffee, but it's lunchtime for real people. For me, it's called first thing in the morning. So, yeah.
This has got to be a great start to your day.
I feel like
today. Here's all the ways the world is fucked.
I fucking feel like shit today, man. I should not have stayed up till 4 a.m.
Will? You've almost got the start right with the late breakfast. However, you should have gone for the Irish coffee. And being Australian, I'm surprised that's even a suggestion.
Played Battlefield on the weekend. I ran out of scotch because, you know, 3/4 of a bottle is apparently enough.
Next question would be, what was the size of the bottle?
1 liter. What's that? Just... I don't know what that is in American language, but it was a liter. So I drank roughly.
No, they sell them in milliliters and liters here too. So
okay, I mean the average one. This one was like an airport one where you get it from like fucking duty free.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I pulled that out and played Battlefield with Anthony, or Tourette's syndrome, as we're known to call it. And, yeah, we spent the day complaining about shit, about how everybody's a hacker and we're better than what we're playing. Anyway, fucking coffee.
Sounds like me playing Overwatch here lately, so.
Mm.
Good God, everybody must be cheating. There's no way I'm this terrible. But, actually, not playing Overwatch at the moment. I've got to, you know, just to do the 3D printer update, because we haven't done one of those in a while. I'm currently trying to 3D print a pocket shot, my own design. Anybody who doesn't know, that's basically a ring with a balloon on it. They sell them on Amazon for like $25, and I looked at the design. It's like, I can spend $1 at like Walmart and get a bag of latex balloons and 3D print something that's just as good. So we're trying that experiment now. I'll update you with how it goes and how many windows I break playing with the damn thing when I get it made. So, but I'm 3D printing threads without any support, and so far, so good. So, last looked at it, it's actually printing these overhangs nicely. So, not that anybody gives a shit about my 3D printer, but I enjoy talking about it. So, let's move on here to first discussion topic and get the links sent out to the various chat channels. I wish this terminal had a keyboard shortcut for that. I'm going to have to script something up. There's that. And the second article, we're talking about the NSA getting hacked, or potentially getting hacked, or, you know, honeypotting a bunch of people with Bitcoin. These are all very, very interesting ideas. So just real quick, the first article here is from technologyreview.com, the MIT Technology Review. A group of hackers known as the Shadow Brokers is currently selling off cyber spying tools, which it claims belong to the U.S. government, in an online auction. Now, analysis of the software that the group made freely available prove its legitimacy in suggesting that it's authentic and likely to belong to the National Security Agency. The Shadow Brokers claim their initial public release of the software included tools that could be used to break into firewall systems from Cisco, Juniper. Just days later, Cisco has urgently announced that it's going to patch two vulnerabilities in its firewall systems, which may have been exploited as early as 2013. Security experts had claimed that espionage tools appeared to be old, but Cisco appears to be seeing some of them for the first time. Meanwhile, Russian security firm Kaspersky has also been interrogating the software. It's discovered unusual math in the code that's been published so far, which it believes ties the software to the so-called Equate equation group. Kaspersky identified the previously unknown equation group last year, and at the time, Reuters claimed that it was the work of the U.S. National Security Agency. The same quirky mathematics seen in last year's analysis also present in the recently released code. Ex-NSA employees have also told the Wall Street Journal that they believe the code published by the shadow brokers to be authentic. So everybody's saying this shit's real. One, the shadow brokers, really? I thought the internet was more creative than this shit.
At least Lizard System had a fucking fun thing about it.
And this is the only thing they're known for. But they haven't done anything else.
Cisco bugs for 0. Yeah, the Cisco bugs for 0 days. So, okay, for first and foremost, just because a bug is old does not mean it's not useful. A lot of people don't patch their firewall systems very often because it's one of those systems that, like, can't go down during the middle of the day. And because they're expensive, most people don't have their fallover set up properly or at all. So, first and foremost, these infrastructure-level systems usually don't go down for patching very often. So, exploits that are a couple of years old are probably still very, very useful. And two, if you have Cisco vulnerabilities, check them against Huawei machines, because Huawei apparently cloned a whole bunch of Cisco code from like 2012, 2013, and that's what they've been basing all their development on. So, you know, and whether or not that's the right thing to do or not, I don't even care, but it does mean that if Cisco box is vulnerable, you know, a couple of years ago, Huawei box might be vulnerable today to the same thing if they haven't fixed it. You know what I mean?
There you go, giving the secrets away again.
Well, I can't help it. That's what we do.
God damn it, man. Huawei's great, or as most Huawei users call it, Hawaii.
So, but then the second article for discussion is the from first tech.firstpost.com, and it goes on talking about how the shadow brokers are auctioning off the stolen surveillance tools used by U.S. government agency. The shadow brokers utilize these weapons that were taken from the NSA, linked to Kaspersky, blah, 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 blah. And the article goes into the idea of this is why it's a bad idea for somebody to hoard all their backdoors as opposed to just reporting them to the company so they can get fucking fixed. So, now, the idealism there is nice. But, okay, let's be really, really, really real here. Your job as the NSA or whatever intelligence agency is to collect data. You have found a way to get around a security measure that most of your targets are going to be using. Why the hell would you report that?
They won't.
Because you have to remember, people are not rational when it comes to big picture stuff, but they are rational when it comes to shit that affects their own ass. There is no incentive whatsoever for the NSA to report security vulnerabilities they find.
There's no short-term incentive.
The only reason they would report them is if it's gear they are using themselves and they're worried about somebody else exploiting them.
Even then, they'd only report it internally.
Well, it depends on whether or not you can mitigate it. Sometimes there's just no, there's just nothing you could do but, you know, get a patch from the manufacturer. So, like, this protocol has a vulnerability, but we kind of need that protocol to do business. Fuck. So,
You keep pointing out vulnerabilities in a vendor's fucking software, and they're not going to be happy after a while.
Well, no, that's why they have a history of suing individual security researchers for pointing out problems.
Because they don't want the general people purchasing their product knowing that they're vulnerable constantly.
No, and
depends,
you
if
know,
they get the reputation of actually correcting their vulnerabilities, then I would be more likely to purchase from them. They fix their problems. Well, I'm not stupid. Okay, everyone is going to have a problem. It's whether or not you fix it that makes you a good company or not.
Okay, so instead of buying a GM car, which has little to no issues, you'd rather buy a Ford that's constantly being recalled.
Is Ford fixing the problem? Because thing you got to think, if they're not fixing it, there's not a question of whether or not there's a problem. It's whether or not they're fixing the problem. And Ford's recall rates aren't really any higher than GM's anymore.
Well, he's or using Toyota's. A hypothetical to make a point.
Yeah. It's, you know, would you rather go with the method that comes out a month later, or the guy who's a month early but is constantly patching his shit. Because at the end of the day, Morps, tell me if I'm wrong, as your network, you'd rather have it up and running than down and being patched.
Well, usually, from my point of view, I would rather have it correct. And if that means taking it down and patching it once a month, then by God, schedule the maintenance window and make sure everybody knows about it. The problem where that comes in is office politics, right? Because office politics, like, that's how I want to operate. My boss, on the other hand, wants to tell his boss that we've got five nines of uptime. So when I say I need a monthly patch and, you know, I need a monthly maintenance window to go patch all of our network gear, he's going to say, no, hell no.
But hang on, boss. Look, I'm going to take a half day Friday. I'll be in Sunday morning at 9, and that's when I'm going to take the network down.
And now, for some businesses, that works. But for other businesses, not so much.
If you're going to get our business, where it would work.
Yeah.
I've worked for a 24-hour business that did orders, and our inventory was supposed to update whenever something was sold. There was still times where we could backlog orders and do a patch if necessary.
And this is where things get political, whereas there's usually a method in place to deal with the system being down for maintenance. It's because it's such a pain in the ass, the people who make the decisions, they don't want to come across as making the problem all the time. So a lot of times, they don't want to do the maintenance window until they absolutely have to, because that affects their uptime, makes things look bad. They want to be able to go to the boss and say, see, look, we've got, you know, damn near perfect uptime. You don't know about problems. That means we're doing our job. Give us more money. And that's a hard argument to make when you have the network down all the damn time.
Well, if it's scheduled down, then you can work your business around it. And if you need an extra person to get it up faster, it's like, here's our downtime. We have a slow, if you have any slow periods, just under schedule during the slow period, schedule everyone there for the downtime so it gets up as fast as possible.
You remember that conversation we were having about people being rational? Yeah. That's the problem.
With the inventory issue, we just patched the system, had the inventory control team off one day, and everyone show up the day after. Ta-da! Inventory's caught up.
Like I said, it comes back to people being rational. And the problem here is that you have a lot of service providers that they won't be rational. They won't do these scheduled maintenance windows because they're you know, the big selling point of their service is the five nines of uptime. So if they're taking a scheduled maintenance window once a month, you know, they're going to be like, you're going to have people saying, nope, we can't do that. We've got to be up 100% of the time. That can't happen. And I know you haven't actually worked in the technology industry, Madman, so you might not be aware of this, but people think it's magic. They don't realize that these things have, that you need maintenance windows and that you need to deal with these systems. The fact that where you used to work, they've dealt with that system going down often enough was probably not the result of good management and training. It was more the result of they had to do it because it probably broke so damned often that they got people used to it. Am I wrong?
No, I was there when it switched over from docked inventory to just-in-time inventory. And it's not still working quite right in a lot of areas simply because they can't keep the staff to keep it working right.
Right.
But so, you still have to do the maintenance.
So the reason you have the procedures in place is not because that somebody was thinking down and scheduled this rationally. It's because it's the only way they could figure out to keep the business running with the system falling over all the damn time. Tell me I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong on this, but I'm almost never wrong on this because I know how these companies operate.
Oh, no. I've been on part of the rescue team. I've been one of the people that rounds up some people and then just goes from location to location in the region to get them caught up after a downtime.
Yeah. I mean, there is no, almost no company comes at this and says, okay, we know that shit's going to be broken. We know that people are going to have problems, so let's put process in place around it. No. What happens is the people who don't understand it think it's magic. They think it's just always there, And if it's not working, then we go yell at the IT guys till it works. Doesn't matter that what they're doing actually takes time and somebody has to figure it out. They're just obviously not working hard enough because it's down, so we're going to go yell at them. Or it doesn't go down very often, in which case they go, what the hell are we paying these IT guys for? So you get back to, you know, shit like you don't. Ultimately, RU's got the right idea that if you have the product that needs less fixes more often, the rest of the business is happy. From my perspective, I don't care how often I need to fix it, just as long as it gets fixed. But RU is right. Most bosses would prefer it that way. But here's the thing.
You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Well, that's absolutely true. But here's the really fun part, especially when it comes to technology, because programming is hard. Technology is complex and hard. Anybody who thinks otherwise is not paying attention. Your iPad doesn't work because Apple is miraculously better at this than everybody else. Your iPad works the way it does because there have been about 6 different versions of the iPad before the iPad came out, and they just hammered the shit out of all the problems until they got it working. If you don't believe me, look into the history of Windows tablets, Palm, the freaking Apple Newton, and earlier smart devices and smartphones.
The Apple Newton was just gold, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But
you couldn't roll a turd in glitter enough.
Palm and 3Com were making PDAs a decade before the iPhone and the iPad. So Apple comes up and says, hey, look, we've got this new thing. It's the iPad. And everyone believes in that it's brand new, and Palm guys are going like, we had a whole industry run of PDAs, and they actually went out of business pretty much around the start of the smartphone revolution, but nobody saw that. So Apple was able to take what was an existing product, improve on it, hand it out as though they were wizard geniuses, when in reality they just built upon an existing thing.
Wasn't BlackBerry the first to really revolutionize that?
I think Palm really was the first ones to bring it to market. Okay. BlackBerry, their claim to fame was not PDAs. BlackBerry's claim to fame was they were the first real email cell phone. Now, at the time, it was not a smartphone. It was a cell phone that had its own data services that you could connect to and do email from. This is why the old school BlackBerries had the full thumb keyboard on them. But at the time, the idea of getting email on your cell phone was just outlandish. I'll never forget the first time I got my first smartphone, and my dad wanted to know what its email address was because he was used to BlackBerries that all had individual where his BlackBerry had a different email address than his computer. So it's like, no, it's the same email address. He goes, what do you mean? I was like, get the same email on my phone that I get on my desk, and that blew his mind because he was so damned used to his BlackBerry from work. So,
BlackBerry used to be the standard, man.
Absolutely. So I'm not really ragging on Apple, except I was getting ready to make the point that Apple has a bad history of not acknowledging their security problems. They'll tell you it's perfect and that at Apple never gets a virus. Well, that's bullshit. We know every computer gets a virus. But and every computer needs patches and maintenance and has problems. So the problem there is not... You know, are you your example of what would you prefer, the vendor that never has a problem versus the one that has all kinds of problems but fixes it? Well, my experience would tell me the vendor that never has a problem is lying.
You cynical bastard.
I'm sorry, it's called experience.
I've worked in business. Everything has a problem. There is always an opportunity cost.
The major virus is sitting between it and the keyboard.
Half the time. And maybe. Hell, I was fucking up trying to understand how a phone app worked because they had redone the interface. Everybody fucks this shit up. So, I mean, you just gotta. Like, even I still fuck shit up. It happens. And I've been doing this shit a while now.
So. The original discussion, I just Googled what they're asking for. They're
like
asking for over $500 million.
Yeah.
It's nuts, isn't it?
$575,110,000.
Well, they wanted it in Bitcoin, and I don't know that there might be. I don't know that there is that much Bitcoin floating around for somebody to buy up.
I don't think there is that much circulating. I could be wrong.
then if there's like exactly a million Bitcoin, then they're pricing themselves out of existence, because if they buy them all or get them all, they're now worth zero.
Yeah.
So if there's not that many, then the price per Bitcoin's about to go up like mad if anyone wants to try to do this.
So here's the real question, though. So, first of all, the Shadow Brokers is such a terrible name. That doesn't sound like a name somebody from 4chan would come up with, right? It sounds like something somebody trying to write a novel would come up with. And
if it's 4chan, it'd be something like Bag of Sphincters.
Yeah, I mean, they Lulzsec. I mean, come on. They at least had a unique name, as opposed to we're the Shadow Brokers. It's like, what are you, 12 and playing D&D? I mean... Go ahead, are you?
I was just saying, I really enjoy the one Lizard System. That was good.
Yeah, Lizard Squad.
Well, the way they did it, you know, the idea that, you know, the tail could be taken from the lizard, but the body still moves. You know, that was their whole reasoning behind it. I liked it. I thought it was cool.
So... I'm not really ragging on them for the name, beyond the fact that there are aspects of this that my first thought was honestly that it's a honeypot. You know, here's all this verified code, all the right people are saying this shit's real. So somebody did have access to it. Could the NSA have been hacked? Absolutely. I'm sure they get hacked all the damn time. But I don't
think they would fess up to it. And I almost think they would have people shot that would cooperate.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. They actually can have people shot. So I kind of wonder if my first thought was honeypot, but what was it you were saying earlier? Are you scam?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a fabrication. The story's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
But is it like the government scamming to get people to try to buy this shit so we can track them down and bust them? Or is it just some person on the internet scamming to get a shit ton of money?
No, I think it's I don't think there's some giant scam here at all. I think it's one of those rumors that started that was picked up by multiple different agencies, and to justify what they're writing, they've had to create this fucking story.
The internet is trolling the real world again.
They've fed their own bullshit. You know, they've created their own bullshit. There's been a rumor out there that somebody's got this stuff to justify it. One guy's like, well, here's some weird mathematics we've found. Oh, yeah, yeah, we found the same thing. Oh, yeah, we did too. Oh, shit, look, fuck, this thing's got its own weather right now. And then someone's plucked this, well, we want a billion fucking Bitcoin, you know, because that sounds reasonable, because I have no idea how Bitcoin works. It seems like a story it's got its own weather system, you know, it's feeding itself.
I'm certainly willing to believe something else is going on here.
To believe the NSA or anything uses different tools to what most other people, yes, believable, but...
Oh, sure, everybody writes their own tools after a while.
There's no citing in the story of what they would have got them, where they broke them in, where they broke into.
Well, a lot of people thought it was from an older hack, because some of the tools were listed, you know, going back to 2013...
But it just seems a little too parallel with the storyline of Mr. Robot right now. You know, whether it's art imitating life or life imitating art, I don't know. To me, the story sounds too good to be true. There are too many agencies that just seem to be citing each other as source and no actual real fucking source.
It's interesting you mention other agencies, because there's always the whole conspiracy theory rumor of NSA versus FBI versus CIA intelligent wars that go on. Right, they always say these agencies are competing with each other for funding, and you know, try to fuck each other over and back different political candidates and all that other fun stuff. You know, maybe it is CIA broke into the NSA and is now auctioning off their tools. I mean, fuck, I don't know.
I could see that, but all of them back all of the political candidates. I know. Point that out.
No, you're right, and that's why I say it's usually more conspiracy theory when you get into some of that stuff. But I just
emergency.
I don't have Alex loaded up on the board. Hang on.
I know, that's why I just did it for you, so you don't have to do it.
Oh, okay. Because I mean, keep stalling. I mean, I'll get it loaded up.
I mean, we dance around this story all night while we're doing the show, but there's no. I'm not seeing any hard facts.
Emergency! No one's, emergency! Emergency!
Every news agency seems to be citing another news agency, and no one's actually citing a source. Where's the fucking page where you pay for this shit? Where's the email address you give the coin to?
I've been too busy at work to get on, some of the more interesting sources and hunt some of that shit down, so...
Dude, this came across... Like, I saw this, 2 days ago, I think, when it first surfaced?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a little dig around, a little hunt. Not a lot. Because I've been too busy watching South Park, but... I couldn't find a source. It just seems like the one agency's like, wait, this has happened. Well, okay, yes, we're going to start it.
Well, I mean, Kaspersky's a source here, because they do real research. So Kaspersky says they see something. I'm willing to take that at face value. But it doesn't say where they got the tools from. It doesn't say where they got it from. So I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to call bullshit on them. I'm just saying it. Just too convenient, you know?
I'm not calling bullshit on the story, but I think something else is going on here. I think there's a lot more to
it. I think it's convenient.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's... Yeah, it's way too convenient.
No.
Too easy.
Yeah. Let's move on here, since it is getting on 9:30. So, next story is from the Private Internet Access blog. Court rules that ISPs do not need to give up information on alleged pirates and copyright infringers. An American internet service provider has received validation that it does not have to give up personal details of alleged copyright infringers. The Eastern Virginia District Court has denied copyright holder BMG Rights Management a permanent injunction against Cox Communication that would force the ISP to match personally identifiable information such as email address, physical address, and name to an IP address that has been accused of copyright infringement. I love that phrasing, an IP address that has been accused. In this, because that's actually an accurate way of describing it, right?
Well, we're not implying that it's your dildo. We're just implying that, you know.
In the event of a dildo, we can't imply ownership. It's a dildo.
Yeah, so it's an IP address, and it's not a person.
So it's just, that's an interesting way to put it. In this case, BMG was trying to force Cox Communication to actively spy on alleged pirates or pirating users and verify that they had stopped piracy. The recently decided motion for judgment as a matter of law was between music licensure BMG Rights Corp. and Cox Communication, a widely used American ISP. Judge O'Grady reaffirmed the December decision that Cox is liable for contributory copyright infringement and needs to pay $25 million in damages to BMG. However, Judge O'Grady also denied a permanent injunction sought by BMG, ruling that Cox did not have to provide emails, addresses, and other private information of alleged copyright infringers to BMG. However, the new law opens a Pandora's box of litigation and will likely prompt ISPs to take a long, hard internal look at how they handle the question of online infringement. Gone are the days of ISPs throwing away copyright infringements for you. So, this is the same story we talked about last week with the BMG judgment and then Rights Corp coming out and saying, hello, ISPs, you better pay us up. You better tell us who the infringers are. We're coming for you, because they said Cox had to pay BMG $25 million. But at the same time, they're saying, but you don't have to turn over the infringers. So it's interesting, because they're saying, okay, fine, you don't want to play by the DMCA safe harbor rules, you're liable. But if you're not playing by the rules, you don't have to turn over who your subscribers are. So I don't really know how this plays out, because they're going to make ISPs fiscally responsible for the copyright infringement. But if they're not playing by the DMCA, then they're not playing by the DMCA and don't have to turn over any information. So
it could play out that if they want to be known as, we're going to protect your identity, they'll just write a line item in their budgets being fucked over by the DMCA, how many ever dollars they think it's going to be that year, and then spread that out over their customer base.
Although, in this instance, since they're saying that, you know, fine, you don't want to be, you know, held to that provision, you don't have to do it. And then there's the reading of the DMCA that even matters, because mostly it says that when you're notified by of infringement, you have to take action to remove that infringement. And the law has been reinterpreted a couple of times, but there are interpretations of it that as long as the ISP stops the infringement, they don't have to turn over anything to the rights holders. It's like, nope, we took the content down, we're done. That is a legitimate interpretation of that law. Now, the copyright holder doesn't like it because they wanted somebody to sue. But, I don't know. This gets interesting really quick. So, I guess it means if you're good at hiding, then you have even less to worry about. But if you're not, then... Because I imagine the ISPs don't want to be fiscally responsible for you, you know, downloading movies. So I don't know that this changes anything. You know what I mean?
Don't download stream.
Well, that's the usual trick, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm gonna come back. If there's an ISP out there that actually still does a dumb pipe, they just go to the DNCS like, we can't tell you because we don't fucking know.
Yeah, and that's a true statement. Would it be better for the ISPs to play dumb?
It would. You know, so this might prompt them to just not log. Just like, yeah, no, we don't keep logs. We keep them for 24 hours for network purposes, and that's it.
And no one really has a static IP. It might be mostly static, but...
Well, servers do. Like, the server we run, the TeamSpeak server on, the G15 website, that all has static IPs. But that's...
we're not fucking stupid enough to keep shit that's pirated on there.
No. No, I mean, you know, we've talked about taking the station pirate before, just to say, fuck it, we don't feel like managing all the music rights.
Yeah,
but
we don't really, you know,
we've never
like
actually done it.
I like sleeping without worrying about noises. But,
what would happen? He was shot at his keyboard for downloading music.
Wouldn't surprise me. He was black while using Google. You're right, Madman. Not many things have a static IP anymore.
Yeah. If you're like an individual entity, like a human, you have to pay extra for a guaranteed static IP. Who's going to pay extra when my IP works? I can get to Netflix from it. I can get to the Pirate Bays if I want to surf the IRCs or whatever. Why would I pay extra for something that I don't need? Now, a business might pay for it because they need their customers to find them.
Just say that you... go to the Pirate Bays to surf the IRCs? Did you actually just say that? Because it kind of hurt a little. I might be bleeding internally.
Well, thanks to my awesome ISP yesterday, my service provider, my IP changed probably 23 times yesterday as my network connection went in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Well, speaking
they were
of
preemptively securing you for a type of lawsuit. There's no way they can prove who was behind all those IP addresses.
Well, speaking of the Australian ISP system, we did have a story that RU specifically wanted to cover because he was so happy about this.
And did you just say ISP system? The Internet Protocol System?
Yes, I did.
Thank you, ATMs.
Actually, it's I said ISP system. ISP is Internet Service Provider. Internet Service Provider system would mean the network of providers in your religion. We can grammar, but I don't think that was technically correct.
Yeah, and that's the best kind of correct.
Wouldn't that be technically incorrect?
I don't know anymore. I'm like out of whiskey already, so...
Yeah, and I'm still drunk, so...
The Australian Census website was shut down by what authorities said was a series of deliberate attacks from overseas hackers. Sure it was. Millions of Australians were prevented from taking part in the national survey on Tuesday night. The Australian Bureau of Statistics has boasted only hours before that its website would not crash. Fucking really? The Prime Minister...
That's daring, people. You don't fucking dare, people.
The Prime Minister assured the public that their information was not compromised. Every 5 years, everyone in Australia is required to fill out forms, forms are compiled to provide a snapshot of the country. Two-thirds of Australians were expected to complete the census online this year rather than on paper. Debate about privacy concerns has been raised despite assurances from the government that security would not be compromised. That is a bold statement. Security will not be compromised.
It's a big one.
We're going to make every effort not to let security be compromised. You can't promise that. I will not be shot tonight. I mean, probably not, but you could be. You know, the sun won't rise tomorrow. How are we? What? I mean, it's like, so not an attack. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. His name is really Turnbull.
Yeah, he's one of the richest men in Australia.
I want him to live up to his name. We need to have a rodeo, and I want this man to turn a bull.
He's not going to be Prime Minister for much longer. He's going to get shafted in the back very soon.
Wasn't that the bad guy in the Matilda movie? My sister loved that movie. I think I've seen it like 3 times. Like, I'm pretty sure the bad guy was named Turnbull.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Dick. Okay. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said that the public's personal information was safe and stressed that the unblemished record of the ABS. That's right, we have never admitted to an attack. okay, that's what an unblemished record means.
Oh, shit.
The one thing that is absolutely crystal clear is that there was no penetration of the ABS website, Mr. Turnbull said. What you saw was a denial of service attack or denial of service attempt, which, as you know, is designed to prevent access to a website as opposed to getting into the server behind it. Some of those defenses failed, frankly. Assistant Treasurer Michael McCormick, well, where's the treasurer? Why is the assistant the one out here talking? Michael McCormick, who was responsible for overseeing the census, denied that the national server was hacked or attacked. It was an attempt to frustrate the collection of data. He said people should rest assured their data is safe. Calls to resign. He was DDoSed. He must resign.
They can only get McCormick because Betty Crocker was busy.
Hey, dude, you know how that guy ended up with the job?
He's named after a bunch of spices and is really rich?
No, one of the press galleries said, well, who's the minister in charge of the census? Oh, we'll get back to you on that one. And then 2 hours later,
you're the man who's being drug out to be shot, sir.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. No one even knew who the minister was for it.
Go fall on the sword, we'll take care of your family.
Pretty much.
The comments contradicted earlier comments issued by the ABS, which stated that there were 4 attacks. The opposition... This is just people not understanding the definition of the word attack. DDoS is an attack, a hacking attempt, or an intrusion attempt could also be an attack.
It's important to note there are 4 different time zones in Australia. I was just pointing that out.
Just point that out. That's right. Just call out what you need to call out so you can wrap it up beautifully when I get through the article here.
I'm just chucking it out there. You know, I'm not making accusations.
The opposition called for Mr. McCormick to resign over the website crash. This has been the worst run census in Australian history. The ABS is now working with the authorities to determine the source of the denial of service attacks. The Australian Signals Directorate are investigating, but they did note that it was very difficult to source the attack. The scale of the attack, it was quite clear it was malicious. Steps have been taken during the night to remedy these issues, and I can certainly reassure Australians that the data they provided is safe. In the lead-up to the census, okay, so they're going on blah, 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 Twitter hashtags, it's merely a flesh wound, whatever.
I assure you it's safe. We recorded absolutely nothing. No one could have logged in at these times. Data is completely safe in your own minds.
So here's the thing that comes to mind reading this article. There's a web series called The Website is Down, and I think it's episode 2 where he accidentally recomputes the base encryption hash and resets all the passwords for the company. And he tells his boss, well, I'm going to get fired. What do I do? He goes, no, you're not going to get fired. Because if you get fired, then I'm going to have to sit here and fix all this shit. You're going to tell everybody it's a virus attack. I'm just saying, this reads like somebody saying, oh, yeah, we were totally hacked. you know, it wasn't my dick on the Twitter page. You know, my Twitter account was hacked. I mean, I'm
totally not my cock. Here, look.
I mean, does this not read like somebody saying, "Oh yeah, we were hacked," as opposed to, "Yeah, we don't know how to build a web server that's gonna have,"
and you know, 2/3 of the Australian populace. Like, we don't need to comb through this for people that listen to this show, because they're already sitting there laughing their asses off.
Go ahead with what you were saying earlier. Are you
I just can't believe the public are buying this.
I'm just sad that I'm going to have to wait an extra week to find out if there are more or fewer Jedi in the world.
It's maddening the way that the Australian public have taken this, that, well, China is attacking us. It's ridiculous.
China doesn't care about 24 million people.
Exactly. And it's laughable. Oh, no, we had 4 major attacks. No, it just turned 7 o'clock p.m. 4 different times in Australia, and the network just seemed to fall over at that exact same time because you told everybody to do it at 7 p.m. You know,
hold up. It comes up and they're saying, do it at this time, not spread it out over these hours.
Oh, no, they wanted it done in the evening. As previously, 5 years ago, they told everyone to fill their piece of paper out at 7 o'clock at night of those who are in the house, those who are visiting, things like that.
They knowingly restricted the times that people were going to be logging into a server.
No, they said you could do it any time, but we prefer you to do it from this time.
Oh, so millions of people decided we'll do it at this time because we're good Australians.
Pretty much, Matt. We're good socialists, we do what we're told. And just happened to be 4 major attacks at the exact same time that it rolled over in each state, but yeah. I think, what was it,
nothing to
previous?
See here. Nothing to see here.
I think a week previous I was talking to you guys, and I'm like, hey, they're going to get us to do this online. This is going to be fucking great. The system's going to go down like a motherfucker. And everyone in the channel is like, they're fools. What are they thinking? You know, just look at Battle.net every time an update comes out and everyone's logging on. You know, it falls over. The entire Australian public have bought into this shit. That it was a massive overseas attack, and we tighter controls on the internet, and the government has just spun it. And once again, the minister in charge of this, he wasn't the minister in charge of this. There was no minister in charge of this. It was just a free-for-all fuck-up.
We set up a WordPress, and you know, on Lenny's computer in his garage, it's totally going to be fine.
I think RU stumbled on a solution to this. Bringing up Battle.net, what you need to do is ask Blizzard to set up your servers. How many people play WoW and log in at a time?
There you go.
Yeah, they were DDoS not too long ago either for the all the Overwatch bannings, so they even have some experience recently.
Yeah. So maybe
you need
to
contact Blizzard to set up your next census.
I was going to say, maybe we shouldn't be using IBM. We should be using Blizzard.
I bet Blizzard has really good numbers at how many people actively play WoW.
Oh, yeah.
And they probably really know how to server balance with DDoS attacks. You know, just keep people going. Take anything away from this is that the Luddites in the community are totally buying into this. Those who are just like going, are you fucking stupid? Are getting these big doe eye looks like, the fuck, are you some sort of hacker? Or were you in on this attack? Like, because I've tried to explain it several times to different people who are, like, freaking the fuck out that they've lost all their information. They come to me and they're like, yeah, you're a hacker, dude. Like, fucking, has my shit gone? I'm like, no, you're an idiot. So there's no real information you put on there.
I always hate that shit because, you know, somebody asks me to help them with their computer. You're not going to read my email. You're not going to hack my shit, are you?
No, but I'm going to copy your entire fucking photo album.
Well, so...
Here's one, the thing. If you don't think I'm an honest person, why the fuck are you asking me for help?
You know, exactly. You know, if I go up to a cop and say, hey, what do you think I should do here? You're not going to rob me with that gun there, are you? That cop would shoot me right there.
Like, you know, I mean, no, they'll at least look at you weird. Yeah, I know this. Cops look at me weird all the time.
Well, you openly discuss how to rob banks with them. But,
that's time to fucking do it. They have some great ideas. Listen to your cops.
That's true. But, in all seriousness, if you went up to any other professional and asked them for help and then accused them of doing something to fuck you over, I mean, you wouldn't do it. So why is it okay to do it to computer people?
Because there's something inherently wrong with this, Morps. Haven't you figured that out?
Yep.
We're wizards. We're like mystical demons that do shit that they can't figure out or have no inkling on how to figure it out.
Stop relying on magical thinking. This is coming from someone who actively believes in God, by the way.
If you keep the smoke in the computer, the little demon's happy, and it paints all the pictures on my screen for me.
Well, yeah, that demon's been complaining about the lack of pink ink, by the way.
That's just because I've been going to a lot of red tube recently.
Alright, are you wrap this up? I want to hit the last couple of stories again. Here.
Anyway.
So, alright, next article is from WindowsCentral.com. Microsoft has made its PowerShell command line and automation system tools available to the open source developer community. It has launched versions of PowerShell for Linux and OS X. And we had somebody at work who has installed the Windows 10 updates with the virtual Linux install PowerShell for Linux. So they were on Windows, running Linux on top of Windows, running PowerShell on top of Linux on top of Windows. Just to prove that it worked.
My mind.
So first of all, at least on Linux, on both of those operating systems, you first would say why. They both have Bash. But
did he see the digital web from where he was standing?
Yeah, he was hallucinating, all right.
Somebody was waving back, and it was his exact doppelganger.
So here's from the Microsoft blog post. Now users across Windows and Linux and current and new PowerShell users, even application developers, can experience a rich interactive scripting language, you know, because Bash and Python don't count, apparently, as well as a heterogeneous automation and configuration management that works well with your existing tools. I hate to tell you, the PowerShell tools are kind of thin compared to some of the other systems out there. Your PowerShell skills are now even more marketable, and your Windows and Linux teams who may have worked separately can now work together more easily. Yeah, no, this is going to be the Windows guys going, yeah, can you install PowerShell on the Ubuntu boxes, please? And then the Linux guys going, no, why don't you install Bash on your Windows boxes? Well, we don't know how to use that.
You can't put those two people in the same room. They fight. They scratch and bite.
Dude, we have a hardcore Linux guy in one of our things, and it is hilarious every time anything happens. Like, because I end up having to work on both systems, just being security. And, the Windows Update server will fuck up. And he goes, I'm not having any problems. What are you running? Ubuntu? Well, yeah, fuck you then. I mean, literally, it's like, fuck off. Nobody cares that you're not having problems. We're not talking about that. But yeah, he's merciless with it. But anyways, so PowerShell open source project now available on GitHub along with alpha versions for Ubuntu, CentOS, Red Hat. It's also available for OS X 10.11 and is the latest example of Microsoft apparently embracing the open source developer community. So it's interesting, and actually, I could see I could see legitimate applications for this when you have people who know Windows and know PowerShell, but now they have to deal with Linux servers because you're dealing with cloud and Amazon and shit like that. So I could see a very legitimate use for this. I just don't know that. It's weird, man. I mean, this is fucking weird.
I'm not sure how useful it is. I just like it whenever anything works on all platforms or as many platforms as humanly possible.
That's true.
Dude, you want to hear eerie silences and monthly meetings? Go ahead and implement this. That's what you're going to get.
So, this data scientist story is kind of boring. I'm going to skip that. Let's do this tech dork story because it's funny. Think tank. Oh, wait. Let me post the links. Forgot to post the links. Got up the links, damn it. Not that anybody in the TeamSpeak is actually reading along. Let's see.
If you're using Ubuntu at work, there's a problem. I thought that ran on a lot of servers.
It does. He's just bitching because it's not Gentoo or Arch. Yes, I'm teasing you, Cycros. Don't get too upset. Debian-based systems run all kinds of stuff, and Ubuntu is a Debian-based system. Now, the desktop SKUs of it have gotten weird lately. Of all things, I actually install... I'm running on my ThinkPad right now a build of Ubuntu server that I installed the Cinnamon desktop on top of. It actually runs really nice. So... You know, it's the candy of Linux. Okay, Cycros. it's a legitimate Debian system. It's fine. If you know what you're doing. Now, if you're the idiot who's like using the little server setup wizard, I want everything. Yeah, that's a problem.
Don't click that button. I made that mistake once. My computer hated it.
Yeah, we had a sysop at one point who was Ubuntu happy, so all the images got built on Ubuntu, and we basically use it like Debian, though. We could probably switch it out for Debian. I don't think anybody would notice, truth be told. I've worked for a lot of tech hipsters who had to have whatever the new shiny on the internet was, now that I think about it. Well, let's go on with this Tech Dirt article here. Think Tank argues that giving up privacy is good for the poor.
Of course they would.
The ISP with ISPs like AT&T now charging broadband customers a steep premium just to protect their own privacy, the FCC has begun looking at some relatively basic new privacy protections for broadband. This has, as you might expect, resulted in a notable bump in hysteronics from the industry. Okay, that's a word. Comcast, for example.
I've never even heard that word before.
Hysteronics. Histrionics. That's a word, apparently.
All right.
So.
yes, it is. It is the noun version of hysterical, kind of. Exaggerated dramatic behavior designed to enact attention.
Oh, what's Psychro saying? Oh, he's saying Gentoo and... Oh... Yeah, okay, fine. Red Hat is... Yes, we have some Red Hat servers, too. Don't get too excited.
Ooh, did you install them in Redneck?
No, because they took it out. I would if it still was there. I would install every fucking server. I've seriously thought about installing servers on Red Hat 5 just so I can use the Redneck language and then, you know, changing out the yum repos and actually letting this Linux 2.4 box get itself all the way up to date. That would actually be amazing if it worked. I should try that sometime. I think I've got the disks still sitting around. Cycros, between Chef, Puppet, he's arguing hard in the chat room. I should ignore it so I can read this article.
Histrionics.
Did you look it up?
Yeah, it's actually a personality disorder. But,
go ahead.
Wow. Yeah, if feminists ever get their hands on a thesaurus. This guy's going to be in trouble for writing this.
Okay. You do know the root of hysteria is...
Yes, madman, let's not get into the dildo conversation and vibrators.
No, it's not a dildo conversation and vibrators. It means to act like a woman.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting to.
Okay. So
they're pretty much...
I did not know that word. I honestly did not.
No,
either
have I.
Awesome,
we've all
word.
Learned something. This, as you might expect, has resulted in a notable bump in women-like behavior from the industry. Women-like...
It was coined by Freud.
I did not know this word. I'm going to be using this a lot more now. I love it.
Oh, calm your histrionics down, young lady.
Like, you're getting all histrionic over here.
Yeah. You're acting like a woman. Wow. Like, in an attempt to sound like a fucking clever cunt, this guy has just fucked himself throughout the ages.
Carl Bode of TechDirt.com.
Well
done, congratulations, sir. You have lost the prize. Anybody who's... Go ahead.
This is fucking brilliant. Keep going. Read this man's article. His words need to be taken down for the ages.
Anybody who's even marginally aware of the lack of competition in broadband understands that this is just another attempt to take advantage of captive customers in a broken market. But the broadband industry quickly doubled down, using the usual assortment of payrolled think tanks to pollute the discourse pool. The Information Technology and Innovation Foundation, for example, was quick to try to claim that charging all broadband users steep premiums for privacy would generate huge benefits for the entire internet ecosystem, and that anybody who couldn't see the genius of such a practice was an absolutist. But a think tank by the name of Technology Policy Institute has doubled down on the already dumb double down with an op-ed on The Hill that tries to claim that such a privacy surcharge would actually help the poor. Pay for privacy plans disproportionately benefit lower income individuals. Indeed, the notion that offering an additional option would be detrimental to any consumer, whatever their income, is misguided. A plan that offers a discount in exchange for data may enable a lower income consumer to have the internet service and pay for groceries. Depriving the customer of that choice may put the internet connection out of reach, except for the fact that no ISP is lowering the price. Well, okay, I can't say no. Some of them might be doing it. But they're not lowering the price. They're increasing the price and saying you can keep the old price if you let us sniff your traffic. They're not offering a new lower cost option that includes tracking. They're taking the current option, saying this now has tracking, and if you don't want tracking, it's another $20. They're raising prices. They're not lowering them.
Oh, my brain. I think my hysterical is bleeding.
I think this author's in hysteronics here. I love that word. That's going to hang around for, like, months now. Blah, 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 blah. Between privacy surcharges, Verizon's getting busted for covertly modifying user packets to track user behavior, and cable companies bragging about how they provide worse customer service for low-credit customers, most people should be able to understand that the FCC thinks it may be time for some basic broadband privacy rules. This guy's obviously all for the FCC regulating the internet, but I just wish we had enough competition that wasn't even a conversation. Shouldn't need to regulate the internet. You should have enough people providing internet that it doesn't matter if somebody wants to be stupid. Say, okay, well, you failed. Congratulations. Welcome to capitalism, where 9 out of 10 fail. And we're going to go with a company that doesn't do stupid shit.
But I need a bailout.
Don't even start.
Shut up. That's not capitalism. Capitalism says if you make money, you get to keep it. If you're fucking stupid, we take your damn house.
That escalated quickly.
Bail out your house, douse you with gasoline, and set you on fire.
That's the fucking history minus.
And you lose 50 DKP.
And you lose 50 fucking DKP. I want to play WoW now.
Why can't I click the damn button?
I've just found myself in the worst part of the internet.
Alright, then we're going to wrap it up with a article from newsblock.io. By the way, I skipped the article about apparently Gawker's main website is shutting down. They're going to keep the rest of it going because whatever company bought them is...
They're bankrupt, aren't they?
Yeah, they're bankrupt.
Gawker just sold themselves.
But they're shutting down the main Gawker page. So
I'm going to have a cigarette. We've been going for an hour. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up here.
I'll be back in a minute.
So, last article here. This mind-controlled bionic arm can touch and feel. So they've got a bionic arm. It's a video from Motherboard. I kind of wish the article went into a little bit more depth, but I don't want to play the video. So we're just going to say they have gotten feedback. So now they're reading brainwaves, and they're actually able to feed back into the system so that you can actually – it's not, like, crazy, but you can – actually get a sense of touch from some of these bionic arms. So,
nice. Even if it's just pressure sensitivity.
I think that's all it is.
That's a big step up.
I think that's all it is pressure. But that's still something. You know, you can tell the arm is touching something, which means...
accidentally crush things that you're picking up with your bionic arm.
Hey, we're one more step closer to a Ghost in the Shell, right? I fully want to be able to swap out, you know, get the prosthetic body. So it's like, oh, I'm getting overweight. Hang on, let me just go get a new body. It's like, I've wrecked this one.
When you're old and decrepit, you get the new body. You keep your current one in working fucking condition. I know I cannot speak as far
as
mine in great
condition.
You've
got the same problem I do, you fat ass.
Yeah, but the solution isn't a robotic body. The solution is me eating less and exercising finally.
Actually, the last article I saw said it didn't really matter what the hell you eat as long as you exercised enough. So.
Oh, that's a fucking lie. Weight loss is literally all calorie intake.
Well, the obvious solution is just don't eat.
Oh, yeah, that, you know, set my mouth shut.
So, it's too bad RU went off. Tell you what, let me reorder decking here real quick. So, because he's gonna love this tool and he wants to hear this tool. So, since he had to go off and take a cigarette in the middle of the fucking show, I mean, fucking really. But so first link I have up for Digital Dojo today is the GitHub link to PowerShell. As in, they really did publish the code. Like, here's the source code to PowerShell. So, whereas it's interesting that Microsoft is putting out PowerShell for Linux and OS X, way more interesting is they put out the source code to the damn thing. And here it is on GitHub. I mean, you can go clone it.
That's
so
cool.
You can make your own SKUs of PowerShell. So if you need a version of PowerShell that does something that the stock one doesn't, you can write your own code, drop it in there. Although, to be fair, you could already do that. You just write your own .NET library and call it from PowerShell. But you can make tweaks to it, or if you're writing PowerShell tooling, you can see the code and see how it's going to interact with your commands, so you can see at a very deep level what it's doing. Even if you're not big on PowerShell on Linux or Mac, which is what I was saying was weird, the fact that they published the code for it means if you're writing Windows tools, you can have a very good understanding of exactly how those tools are going to interact with the system. And that is a good thing. And we're probably going to see a lot of knockoff tools that are, you know, system managers that they basically take source code PowerShell and wrap a GUI on it. But that's okay. That's something. I mean, you know, hey, maybe we'll get a good tool out of it, or a good concept at least. And then finally, the last link I have for tonight is Datasploit. And this is a Python tool that is also on GitHub. And their slug line is, this is a tool to perform various OS int or open source intelligence techniques, aggregate all the raw data, visualize it in a dashboard, and facilitate alerting and monitoring on the data. So this is a tool that, like, you feed it an email address and it goes out and searches pastebin and a whole bunch of other things, and it does a bunch of other intelligence and data gathering techniques that are based off scripts. So, like, you give it a domain name, and it'll go out and do a census of it. It'll check, you know, all the DNS records and email addresses and forums and all kinds of shit. And what it will do is it correlates all these results, puts them into a dashboard, portals, and you can even have it alert when it sees things. So, I've wanted to play with this more, but I just got absolutely blew up this week, which sucks, because I would love to set something like this up and just point it at a few key terms and just, you know, wait and see if anything ever shows up. Like, you know, a year from now, if the thing goes off and says, hey, you know, these key phrases just showed up, I can go, oh, fuck, we just got breached because somebody just published, you know, a dummy password list that I just put out, or, you know, something stupid.
Or...
so. Go ahead.
Self-monitoring on the internet.
That's exactly what it's for.
Yeah. Like, here I'm watching my own reputation on the web.
But you can have it, so it performs OS intelligence on domain, email, username, phone, and will find out information from different sources, correlates it, shows them in a consolidated manner, tries to figure out credentials, API keys, tokens, subdomains, domain history, legacy portals, and other shit related to the target. And you can go into the console and run it by hand. I tried to stall until you got back, are you?
Targeting yourself. Oh, the narcissistic. Oh, the ooze is just coming out of me.
Well, not only that, but you could have this target other people too.
I know.
Stop
it. Really, you'd target yourself first to make sure it works properly.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, the narcissism.
But
feeling a bit narrowy there?
Yeah.
The fact that this thing will sniff out API tokens. You say, oh, yeah, we're doing an engagement on this, or I just don't like this company. Let's see if we can find this shit, right? Throw it out there, run it on some server. There it is. And are
actually,
you, since I know you love this shit.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play with that. It looks like it could become part of my toolbox.
Well, yeah, you know, you say that, but I don't know how much experience you have in actually setting up tools like this, because you got to set up Django, RabbitMQ, a database, a whole bunch of libraries.
There's nothing like a down week in YouTube.
That's true, and, you know, just get you a virtual machine set up, do a... I'm going to say do a Ubuntu server just to piss off Cypress.
You're talking about debunking the whole idea of being wizards. Yeah. You know.
What did I just say about magical thinking? Seriously.
Yeah,
what did I just fucking say?
Dude, it's just a down week and YouTube, and if you're keen enough, you'll figure out how to run these tools.
Just bash your head against it long enough, he'll figure it out. He's got a setup guide on there.
Yeah.
Sakros just posted the setup guide.
He's posted the damn setup guide. There you go.
Thank you. But it looks like it could become part of my toolbox if it's as good as it claims to be.
Well, it's written in Python, so you can extend it too. So, you know, that's all I got tonight. Listen to the show. We're always talking about the show. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. The website got redesigned a couple of weeks ago. I am working on content for it. Like I said, I just got absolutely blew up this week. Sorry about that. Listen to the stream. I think I need to talk to Laura at some point about getting his shows on some kind of rotation as well. I'll figure that shit out. Madman, do you have anything before I close out the show?
Here pretty soon you'll know whether the world's number of Jedi have gone up. You can actually claim to be Jedi as a religion in Australia.
What about you, are you? Anything before I close out the show?
Not really. You just don't drink as much as I do, kids. It's not worth it the next day.
Well, I like Madman's advice. If you don't want to get hungover, either A, don't start drinking, or B, don't stop.
Two best ways.
This is the worst I've felt in years.
Nope, I missed a beat. I didn't want the whole game over. I just wanted the, are you down noise. So.
Oh, I'm serious, man. Not even in a meetup have I been this fucking hungover. Actually, I went back and watched the original IHN video that we did.
Oh, dude.
That's hilarious.
We had somebody on Reddit, and I forgot to check the subreddit to see if anybody had any questions for us.
Are we off air?
No. Still recording.
Okay.
Yeah, we had some questions last week. People were asking if we had all of the IHN shows anywhere, and since the original IHN site got, I don't know what the hell happened to that, but Swalf had some problem with it, and
yeah.
I think you're the only other person who has the complete archive of all of them.
I don't. I have the original first 10. I don't have any archives of it. If you're looking for a resident librarian, hit Sard up. I think he may have
the
entire catalog of it.
I didn't know he had all of it. Because they were asking...
Somebody
heard your special a couple of weeks back, and they were like, well, where's the rest of this? It's like, really?
Yeah, really? I thinking about doing another special coming up soon.
I just
got to talk to my news reader.
It's a question of figuring out... I mean, the thing's huge. Figuring out how to get them all out there if we even want to.
Yeah.
There's some
bullshit. I don't care what it is. It's all open source, man. Anybody wants to host or store it, they go right ahead. I don't care. It's open.
Is
anybody
who
got on that show... on that show knew exactly what the purpose of that show was for?
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit. I didn't know what I was in for. Now look what I'm doing.
Fuck off. You're coerced.
Hey, there's a boob fur video floating out there that I thought was hilarious. It even made it to YouTube.
Hey, I just thought I was here for Netflix and chill. I didn't realize it was going to be an orgy. Where did that horse come from?
I thought we were all hanging out. I didn't understand what was going on. Why am I running a radio station now? What the fuck?
It's pretty much
chill. How did this happen? Why do I know so much about audio now? I don't understand.
Alice awoke 7 years later to find out she was running a radio station and had more responsibilities she could poke a stick at.
This isn't how it's supposed to happen. Not like this.
Man down, man down.
That's all I got. I'm going to play the Pac-Man noise now.